You're listening to Cheating When Love Lies with me, your host, Jillian Hamilton. Come on, let's have an affair.
On today's episode of Cheating When Love Lies.
Gaslighting is a term that we hear often, but would you know when and if it was happening to you? For those who don't know what gaslighting is, it's when someone tries to convince you that something they said or did never occurred. They deny the reality of what you know happened until the gaslighter gets you to start questioning yourself and what you know to be true. My guest today, whom we'll call Wendy, was in a 9-year relationship where she was gaslighted. So according to Wendy, she never really learned for sure if her partner cheated on her. I have my own point of view as to whether or not Wendy's partner cheated or not, but I'll let you listen and decide what you think was really going on behind all that gaslighting. Last of all, it's going to amaze you when you learn what Wendy's job is. It reminded me that when in love, it's possible for anyone to doubt themselves and question their reality. So, Wendy, welcome to the show. Yours is an interesting story about cheating and affairs. You're a mature woman. You encountered a gentleman who you believed was cheating on you, but you weren't sure. Let's start at the beginning. How did you meet this gentleman? And where did you meet this gentleman? How did your relationship begin?
We met on a dating site and we started dating. And our relationship kind of started with a bang. And we started seeing each other 2 nights a week, 3 nights a week. And before you knew it, we were seeing each other like 5 nights a week, 6 nights a week. Before this gentleman, I was matched up with other people after my divorce. So he was probably the first person I had a relationship with. Like, it was more serious. I was much younger, so I kind of was, like, excited about meeting new people.
When you say much younger, 30s, 40s?
I was 50.
Okay. And what about him? Do you have kids? Does he have kids?
Yes, we both have. We both had kids.
Okay.
Mature kids.
Mature kids, meaning college?
College. Okay. And yeah, both my kids, one was in college, one had graduated, one was already in graduate school.
But it's a pretty sweet situation. You're more or less free.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Nobody knew what I was doing and where I was.
Oh,
correct.
Bliss,
correct.
Pure
yes.
Bliss.
Yes.
So then what happened? You start dating this gentleman and what happens?
I think everything's going really smoothly. We're really enjoying each other. He was a lot of fun, always something planned, and I was enjoying my life with him or starting my life with him. We were definitely seeing each other on a regular basis.
When you say something planned, give me a sense of what the dates were
like.
He
always planned really nice things.
Like what?
Just fun dinners. He liked to do things. He was a doer.
Give me an
Broadway
example.
Shows.
Oh, okay.
You know, just fun.
So kind of extravagant.
Yes, but he was a little extravagant. Nothing was too much for him. He was a doer. And I sort of am an easy person. So I really enjoyed having somebody plan for me. Because
is a nice feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband was not a planner and I planned everything.
Well, I think once husbands become husbands, they're like, honey, you do it, you know?
Correct. Right. So this guy really took care of everything, and I sort of was enjoying that attention.
Now, do you think that he was doing that because he was so into you, or this is just the kind of guy he was?
I think he really liked me, and yes, mm-hmm. I think this is the kind of guy he was.
So Broadway shows, trips?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We did, you know, not in the beginning, but we were, you know, going away for weekends. We just were having fun, just okay. A lot of fun, like free fun.
Okay. Who's footing the bill for all this?
I would say he was footing the bill for that.
Wait, you hesitated. What do you mean I would say?
I think so. It was such a long time ago. I think back then, you know, he was courting me. And
okay.
Yes, he was paying, you know,
right.
The bills for that.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say I didn't pay for an occasional meal or something.
Right. But
I think he was paying for most of the things we were doing.
So this is a generous, adventurous person.
Correct. Very.
Okay. So then what happened?
I felt like his relationship that he left was still sort of raw with him. Mm. And back then when I guess you could see the text come to your screen before the iPhone had that privacy screen, mm-hmm. I would start to see his ex texting him a lot.
How far into your relationship were you when you started seeing these texts?
I think I saw that sort of in the beginning. Mm. But again, I didn't know him well enough.
What's the beginning? The first 6 months?
I would say the first 6 months I saw her name pop up on the screen and, you know, he would poo-poo it. It's nothing. But it was happening a lot.
So you would confront him and
say— Yeah, I would say, you know, what she want now or whatever.
So mm-hmm. It must have been a significant amount for you to have said something.
Right. I definitely saw it. But again, you know, I think we eventually were seeing each other exclusively. Mm-hmm. And I guess—
you said I think. Why is there—
I want to say, like, I don't know exactly. Was it 3 months we were into it? Okay. 6 months? There was a time where it was just us and her text.
And her text. the two of you and her text.
Right.
You say he poo-pooed the text that you received from his ex. What do you mean by that?
Really got a straight answer.
What would you ask?
What does she want?
And what would he say?
Nothing. She's just— he never really gave me any information. So I sort of just buried it.
Did you push for answers?
Don't remember. Don't 100% remember.
Can you try and remember?
You know, I probably did, but knowing his personality now, mm-hmm. I'm sure whatever I was saying, he would make it like it was nothing. Like she was just, you know, he had his stuff in her house. Mm-hmm. He had to, you know, tie up loose ends because they were living together.
Living together at this
point? No, I was living by myself. Yes, mm-hmm. I was still living in my own place.
So he would explain it away as we live together, we have loose ends.
Correct. And that made sense.
Right.
And I was seeing him, you know, 5 out of the 7 nights a week. Mm-hmm. So
you had no reason to think that he had time for somebody else.
Correct.
Okay. Then what happened?
I guess we kept going out and mm-hmm. we were seeing each other even more. Mm-hmm. I was involved, you know, I met his family. You know, we were clearly a couple, mm-hmm. A pretty solid couple. And
you keep using these qualifiers like pretty and think, you know.
I thought I was.
Did he ever ask you, be my girlfriend?
I think it was just a given. Do 50-year-olds do that? Do you want to be my girlfriend? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's that exact verbiage, but I don't know. I'm asking. It's not a rhetorical question. Does someone say, hey, listen, this is the conversation. We're now monogamous. These are the boundaries. These are parameters.
We never had that conversation. Okay. So I guess the assumption was that we were monogamous and it was just us. And it was really, you know, maybe we went from 5 days a week to 6 days a week to 7 days a week. We were either in my place or his place.
Yeah. Sounds very romantic.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was all, you know, again, all fun. I was having a good time.
Sounds great.
I was having a good old time.
Mm-hmm. And you're very compatible sexually and intimately.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Correct.
Okay. So now you're, let's say we're month 8, month 10.
So I had to decide whether I was signing my lease again on my place. Mm-hmm. And we were spending probably 6, yeah. possibly 7 days a week mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, should we move in together?
Okay.
And we did. We decided that why not give it a try? And we were spending 7 days a week. Why sign my lease again? Mm-hmm. So I decided to make the commitment to move in with him.
Okay. Was that difficult for you? Do you remember? Or were you
no,
eager?
No, I think I felt like I was making a good decision back then.
All right. So, and moving into his place, did he live near you or did it represent a dramatic life
No,
change?
He lived near me.
Okay. So you don't have to uproot your life. You're just kind of...
Yep.
Picking
Maybe
up a few boxes.
10 minutes away.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. What are the kids saying at this point?
My kids were okay. Mm-hmm. I guess his kids really liked me. We all were very compatible.
Right. So this sounds pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
It was all compatible.
Kids were all about the same age.
Wow.
You know. Mm-hmm.
There's adventures. You're spending lots of time together. He's generous.
They didn't like his family. Did not like his ex girlfriend. So I was welcome. I was like the star.
Why did they not like her?
I think they thought she was crazy.
Oh,
they didn't like her.
Well, how many times do we call women crazy?
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well,
so I don't know, but I know that coming into this relationship, I was
the hero.
I was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are amazing.
I am amazing.
You are amazing.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay, so you move into his house. And?
And we start, I guess before we moved in, we did talk about sharing expenses and how we were going to manage.
Right.
And I also had my office in his home for a little while, you know, in the beginning.
Where was your office previous to that? In your home?
In my home. I've always had like an at-home office and then an out-of-office office.
Okay.
if that makes sense.
It totally does.
And so we talked about like money and how much I would contribute to the house and expenses. And I came up with a number that I guess at the time, as naive as I was, seemed like okay.
Did you have this conversation before or after you moved in?
I want to say after.
You want to say, but what really happened?
I think after.
Okay, after. So you take this leap of faith that you're going to work it out based on love. And then once you get there, it's kind of like, oh, wait, we forgot to talk about this very important.
So we came up with, you know, what I would like to contribute. My son was living there part-time until he was going to move out. You know, he had a job at a college, but he needed a place to live for a couple months. And he lived with us, so I wanted to make sure that I was taking care of him. And I didn't want this man to be taking care of my child.
Son. Yes,
I'm very independent. I have a very good salary. So I was not looking for, like, the easy way out to move in and have this person take care of me. I wanted to do what I thought was fair.
And now, a word from our sponsor. When CBD came out, everyone wanted it to be just like cannabis, but it wasn't, so people were disappointed. Well, so were the folks at CBDX.com. So they went all in on Delta 8 THC. They have Tasty Flower, which is just like the cannabis you know and love. They have strong but discreet vape cartridges, crazy potent gummies, and even pure concentrates. You will be amazed. And if you live in a state where cannabis is legal, this is so much easier than going to the dispensary and paying those high taxes, because with CBDX.com, your products are delivered straight to your door. If you live in a state where cannabis isn't legal, it's a no-brainer. You don't have to worry about hiding in some back alley or doing something sketchy just to get the products you want. So get yourself some gummies or a vape. You'll be blown away that this is legal and shipped directly to your door. So go to CBDX.com, that's four letters, CBDX, and use the code CHEATING, and you'll get 20% off and a free gift. That's CBDX.com, code CHEATING, and you'll get 20% off and a free gift. Why not try it? Okay, so you, by your own recognition, are saying that you're rather successful, you're independent, you really didn't need someone to take over your expenses.
Correct.
What about him?
I don't know. When I go back and think about, again, I know more of the end of the story. So in the beginning, I felt like we were just having this like nice, honest conversation about money.
Well, I think it would be fair to make the assumption, like I'm making the assumption. I'm thinking this guy's doing okay. I've got Broadway shows. I've got trips. I've got dinners out. It sounds like it's flowing.
Right. Flowing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't know anybody's situation.
Right.
And we came up with a number that seemed fair until, I guess, you know, couple of years later, mentioned that number to many people when I started feeling a little overwhelmed by the number and other things that were going on. And everyone's like, you're giving him that kind of money?
What made you start feeling overwhelmed? What changed between the day you agreed to the amount and the day that you started feeling overwhelmed?
I guess we bought a house together.
Oh, boy.
Bought a vacation home together.
Okay.
So my expenses went from A to really, you know, Z, my expenses. Yeah, okay. We were splitting this house together.
So wait, just so I can be clear. So you have your house that you have his house.
That I'm contributing to.
Right, that you moved into, that you're contributing to. And then the two of you together.
Buy a house.
Buy a new house.
Correct.
Okay. And it was at that point that a light bulb kind of went off, you know, in concert with friends saying to you, you're buying a new house, you're paying rent to him. That's when you started feeling overwhelmed and started having questions?
Yeah, I guess that's when financially I was feeling overwhelmed because I was really, really spending a lot of money at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Every month.
It's a lot.
A lot. And, you know, when you have a vacation home, you have the added expenses
right.
and other things.
It's a money pit.
It's mm-hmm. a money pit. So that was one piece of it.
And what was he doing to contribute to this new home? What was the
Same.
Split there?
It was a 50-50 split.
Okay. So you both put your down payments. You mm-hmm. both split right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Okay.
So that's where the overwhelm, you know, I sort of was feeling overwhelmed and thinking, and when I guess when I shared my number, what I was contributing to mm-hmm. his home, people looked at me like, what, are you crazy? Why are you giving him that kind of money? So that's where a little of my insecurity started coming in, amongst other things that were going on too.
Tell me about the other things.
So I felt like this woman was still in his world.
She's still around.
Still around.
Okay.
Still around.
We're buying a vacation home. We're living together for how long now?
Probably third year we might have bought the vacation home together.
And woman X is still around.
Yeah. I think woman X was around. Yeah.
And how would you know? How do you know she was around?
So I sort of was suspicious of him and his communications with her.
Oh, there's another qualifier. Sort of suspicious or were you?
I was suspicious.
Downright suspicious. Okay.
I was suspicious.
Okay. Why?
And
is he still getting texts?
Yeah, I guess texts or... I was on his phone and looking at his phone and his emails and his iPad, wherever I could sort of sneak around and look.
Okay.
And it was all there.
So let's guess. So now you're snooping.
Right.
Okay.
Which is not something you should ever be proud of. But yes, I was snooping.
Well, I don't know. I think there's qualified snooping.
I want to say it was qualified snooping.
Okay. I mean, it depends. If you think someone's in danger and harm, you might want to open the desk drawer and see what's inside.
Right. So I was definitely snooping in a way that I was obsessed with my snooping.
Obsessed.
Like trying to find out like what was going on a daily basis, every other day basis.
Be more specific. What do you mean?
Like whether I could, you know, sign on his iPad and look and see if I could find an email because a lot of times they spoke through email. I couldn't really read his text because that was on his phone. So most of the communication I saw was through his emails. I read his emails to her back and forth. And it was a lot. There were a lot of them.
What are you reading?
I'm just reading their conversations.
What does it say?
You know, they're talking, I think, on a personal level. You
know, be specific, please.
You know, you want to meet me at my office. You can meet me at my office after work. He would meet her there after work. Again.
But other than logistics, was there anything personal? You can meet me at the office and we will fill
in
the blank.
Nope. There was none of that. There was what I would say were flirtatious emails.
Not verbatim, but...
I remember once he had like this text like, you know, I can meet you, we can go dancing, we can go dinner, we can... Like he sort of was like, you know, baiting her with something fun.
Mm-hmm. And how did she respond?
Don't remember. Sorry. Don't really remember. I really remember the reading of, you know, more of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there seemed to be a regular email back and forth to them.
Well, how did that make you feel, one, to have developed this what you call an obsession for seeking the information?
Right. It was terrible. It was terrible because, well, here I am doing this behind his back and then making believe everything was fine. When we were together. And so...
So like, what part did you feel terrible about? The snooping or
both,
the fact that you
both,
felt bad
both. Right.
To like pretend?
Right. So I was snooping and didn't confront him. Mm-hmm. Sort of was like following him.
Why didn't you confront him?
You
know, it seems like it was going on for a long period of time.
Right. I think I was confronting him in a very passive-aggressive way. Like I was baiting him, but he wasn't taking my bait. Like I might say, oh, you still talking to her? And he'd say, no, I haven't spoken to her in a long time.
Like, bing, ding, ding. Yeah. You know he's lying. So
correct.
How did you feel then?
Again, terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Like, take me into that moment. You know, Wendy says, oh, honey, have you spoken to her?
Right.
He says no.
No.
You know he's lied. Let's go right back to that moment. Freeze frame. What are you feeling? You're not ready to reach across the table and
kill him?
Pull his hair out?
Right. You know, again, I don't have the specific memory of how I felt other than I felt pretty terrible because I knew he was lying to me and I was keeping a lot of this to myself because, again, I felt bad about what I was reading and yet I wasn't confronting him and I wasn't making any life changes. So I just kept...
Did you cry?
I cried a lot. He really hurt me so badly.
Okay, so you were sad.
I was really sad about it. Yeah, I mean, like, for example, one Christmas Eve, I'm, like, waiting for him because we have plans to go to a family's, you know, Christmas Eve dinner. Mm-hmm. And he's late. He's this and that. Later, when I read, you know, the email a week later, he was late because she was at his office Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just was...
And do you remember when you saw him on that Christmas Eve and he was late? Did you say, honey, you're late? And he said...
At that time, I didn't know where he was. You know, he was very busy. He always had a good excuse.
But you knew he was late when he walked in late. It's right. Christmas Eve. It's not like regular Wednesday night.
No, his personality is, I was late. I was on the phone. There was always something. Mm-hmm. But he never was the type to, honey, I'm late. I'll be home in a little while. He just would walk in and I'd be like, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you let me know where you were?
What's your family saying at this point? Because now we're at the point where they're, you know, getting a little suspicious because you're spending all this money and, you know, Mr. I used to be very generous isn't seeming
as generous
anymore.
Right. I don't know if I shared with my family about the ex-girlfriend and all that part. That might have maybe just with some good friends about what was going on.
Why didn't you share with your family? And what did your good friends whom you told say?
None of them thought it was good. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that was – I sort of – all of a sudden I was in like – a situation where I was complaining about the money. Mm-hmm. I was complaining about this woman.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say? Can you remember specifically?
They just felt bad for me that I was in this situation that I seemed to...
Did any one of them say, he's cheating on you? And now, a word from our sponsor.
This is Walk-In's Welcome with Bridget Fettesy.
I love hearing people's stories of resilience and grit. This is why I created this podcast.
We are very excited to welcome Jim Gaffigan,
Yasmin Mohammed,
Glenn Beck, Tim Dillon,
Abigail Schreier,
Jeff Garland,
Ayan Hirsi Ali,
Sam Harris,
Heather Hying,
Jonah Goldberg,
Ben Shapiro,
Glenn Greenwald,
Sarah Shahi,
Colin Quinn.
If there's a culture of victimhood, then let's tell stories of grit and survival.
Subscribe and listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, like I didn't catch him in the act. I just caught him in the
circumstance that could have led to.
Correct.
But did any of the friends, not you, but did any of the
friends? Yes, they all felt like he was being
all
suspicious.
Of them.
Every single one of them said they were being suspicious, that he was... It was worthy of me being this suspicious. Again, I was reading. It was a lot of texts and emails. So I did confront him at some point. I think I confronted him because I found out she was at his office. And that's how
Was this the Christmas Eve or another office?
No, maybe another.
Oh, my God. So she's going to the office.
Yeah, another thing.
Wendy, what did you think was going on at the office? I have to imagine, you know, it's 2:00 in the morning, you're alone with your own thoughts, even though he may be in the bed next to you. Mm-hmm. Your mind is racing. What are you thinking is going on at the office?
I don't know. Again, there was no sort of like, I love you, I had the best night with you.
Really?
There was none of that.
I don't know, but if you're crying, you must have known something.
Well, I felt like, am I making this up in my head?
Aha.
You know, that every woman doubts a lot of her intuition.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it anymore.
Well, this is beyond intuition because you had the facts.
Correct. So I had some facts. Then,
You
know, so when I brought it to his attention, you know, she's coming to your office. I'm not comfortable with that. He's like, it's okay. My office staff is all there. Don't worry. She's there when, you know, during office hours. And that was sort of how he poo-pooed it to me. Again, you go behind a closed door, you don't know what's going on. And I never knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that he promised that she would never be at his office if he was alone.
Oh, you got to that,
type
of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now you're bargaining with him.
Yep. Because he kept saying, I kept thinking to myself, and I think I should. I said, would you be happy if I was seeing my ex-boyfriend?
Good for you. And what did he say?
And how would you feel about that? And he, you know, again, negated my feelings, negated my reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your job?
I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Is that surprising? Do you think that it's surprising that you had these doubts, although you are a therapist?
I guess I'm human before I'm a therapist. So
right on.
You know, I was in a situation where I was hoping that this person who I adored and loved mm-hmm. wasn't doing this to me. And I was trying to find, you know, the truth in between the lines, the blur lines mm-hmm. of him telling me nothing's going on. Because, again, I never caught them in the act of anything.
So what at this point, Wendy, is the most hurtful part? Because I'm hearing that there's lying. There's his interaction that's physical with this woman. Mm-hmm. There's a building money issue. And there's gaslighting.
Right. Lots of gaslighting, which I never knew that term until I went into therapy.
Well, explain to us what gaslighting means.
So gaslighting is when you have had a discussion with somebody. You could mm-hmm. be having a regular black and white conversation mm-hmm. with your spouse or your friend. And you're pretty sure you know exactly what went on in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You leave the conversation. You bring it up, whether it's an hour later, a day later, and they look at you and say, I've never said that. That mm-hmm. never happened. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting somebody gaslighting to you, mm-hmm. you doubt your own reality. Mm-hmm. You doubt mm-hmm. what your thoughts and feelings are mm-hmm. because they sort of mess with you. Mm-hmm. And it's really – it's a form of abuse, which mm-hmm. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And all along, everything that, you know, he gaslighted to me, I'm a pretty smart, intact person mm-hmm. and know what I say. Mm-hmm. And I doubted myself for a lot because anything I say, he said he negated. Didn't say, he negated.
It's interesting to hear your definition of gaslighting because I totally support that. But I would also add to that, it's even more nuanced. It won't be a total, you know, negation of what you said, but it can be somewhere in the gray area.
It's so gray.
Are you sure? Where
right.
the person questions you when you're questioning.
Right.
Are
and
you
they
sure?
also, like, come back with you with a lot of language and, like, to confuse you even
yes.
more. That's part of the whole gaslighting, that you leave the conversation
confused.
Saying to yourself, okay, did I say that? Did that happen? Maybe I should just be quiet.
Or they try and redefine things you define. Yes.
Exactly.
That's not cheating because I only...
she was in my office.
Yes.
Office hours
exactly.
and all that. So, yes. So there was a lot of that went on. And
so may I go back to my question of a moment ago? Which of those four things was most hurtful to you? I'm being gaslighted. I'm being, for lack of a better term, ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being lied to. He's more than likely cheating on me in a physical relationship.
Yeah, probably being lied to.
And
again, when I brought up, you know, he knew I was looking at his iPad and his phone. So going back.
Wait a minute. He knew?
Yeah, because I told him.
And how did he respond to that?
Oh, he was so pissed. And so right away he changed all his passwords. I wasn't able to get into anything anymore as soon as he found out that I was looking and snooping. So I was really closed out. So after we had all this discussion about mm-hmm, her, mm-hmm. I never really knew what went on afterwards. I sort of was always suspicious that they still were in contact, but I had no proof, zero.
So let me ask you now, and I know the story goes on many years and we'll get to that, but what was going on between them?
I don't know. I still to this day don't
Wendy,
know.
Wendy, what was going on between them in that office?
I don't know.
Really?
I really don't. I don't know if they were kissing, they were having sex, or they were just having, you know, I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you think that anything physical was going on between them?
I suspect.
Mm-hmm. What makes you doubt that something physical would be going on?
Because it might have been during office hours and it might not have. But I think there were enough times that it was after office hours or when everybody was gone. I don't know. You know, back then, I don't know. I don't know, you know. He denied it, but I didn't believe him, but I could never, ever prove it.
I have a hard time believing you had no idea when you say, I don't know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could only suspect.
Right.
I only could suspect what was going on. Okay. But, you know, you can say, oh, we only kissed. And
But even well, if you did only kiss, would right, you say, oh, well, no problem.
No,
all we did was kiss.
So no. So let's say that's what they did.
Right.
That's as bad as – that's still cheating on me. You're still
right.
with another woman. But I can't quantify or, you know, give you the,
right.
exactly what went on.
Okay.
And I never will know.
Okay.
I will never know.
Well,
I just assume.
Okay. What about her? Could we ask her?
Well – she probably would, who knows? I guess we could ask her, but I would never.
If you could, would you?
Would I ask her? That would be interesting. Probably. I'd love that. Yeah.
I mean, it's only a phone call away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Continue with your story. So you're together, then something so devastating happens to your son.
So we're still together. We still have this vacation home together. And, you know, boundaries were becoming a problem for me with this vacation home.
What do you mean?
Just a lot of company, more than I can handle.
Who was coming?
Children's friends. His kids were way more sociable than my children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he liked to please his children and make it an open house. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a big house. And mm-hmm. I understand big houses are meant for people to be there. But
mm-hmm.
lots going on in the house where I was feeling very overwhelmed and not really enjoying my house. I always enjoyed it with him when it was just the two of us
mm-hmm.
or off season. So it was I was feeling overwhelmed again with this house that was really beautiful and lovely and peaceful that wasn't peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you told him that, what did he say?
He never really got it. He loved to entertain. He loved to have people there. He never heard a word I said.
He heard you and he ignored you?
Right.
Or
a little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 A little bit of both. He never really, you know, I'd say, you know, it's great that your kids want to bring, you know, 10 of their friends, but do they have to come for the whole weekend? Do they have to come Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
And he would say?
What's the big deal? What's the big deal? And it literally, you know, I'd have 10 people extra sleeping in my house, breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
right.
coffee. It was the food shopping. It was just.
Oh, you were doing all that?
No, he was doing most of it.
Okay.
I was helping a little bit, but I sort of took like a, you know, I became this person I didn't want, like an angry person who was.
Well, tell
like
me about that.
Resenting my existence in this house and because it was the boundaries that were being abused. So I was always angry. Like, why do we have to have all these people? Why are they all sleeping over?
So you were angry with him.
Yeah.
And
he didn't care. He didn't care. He had to please his children. That's all that mattered.
So he didn't even argue. He didn't even give you the benefit of an argument.
No. He would just say, what's the big deal? It's only a weekend. It's only the summer. It's only this. It's only that. So he sort of.
And then when he didn't get angry, because I think that.
He never really got angry. He was sort of passive aggressive.
Ooh, I can't stand that.
Mm-hmm. Like made me like I'm making a big deal over nothing. It's only a weekend. We'll get some extra help. You know, we'll get some full-time help, which, you know, added to my expenses, too, which was not really making me happy either.
Right. Okay. So he's being dismissive of you. The kids are there. I was alluding to what had happened with your son, mm-hmm. which is so difficult, and how that impacted your relationship with your partner.
Well, my son was diagnosed with cancer mm-hmm. as a young adult. And during a lot of this, during this time period that we were together. So not only did I have the situation that... you know, having all the people, but now I was very distracted by my son's illness. So he really was not present in my life that, you know, was all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, didn't really respond to his therapies, his chemos. So we sort of, you know, had one failed treatment after another failed treatment and another failed treatment. Mm. And it just was devastating, one thing after another. And, you know, we were at the best doctors in New York City.
Was your partner at all supportive?
He was very supportive. He was supportive in a way that he tried to help us. But again,
did he manifest that? How was he trying to help?
I think he sometimes he made me feel very guilty for spending so much time in the city.
I'm sorry, guilty for spending time
like
in the city with your son?
Yeah, like, you know, why does he can't go to that appointment by himself? You know, you have to miss work. And I'd be like, what? Yeah, I have to miss, because, you know, I would complain that I wasn't really making as much money anymore because I was going to doctor's appointments.
Of course, you were and with your son.
I was with my son, sitting with him during chemo.
Of course.
Which is every week or yes. every 2 weeks. Yes. You know, it was different treatments. So I really was struggling financially. All of a sudden, my good job, as good as your job is, if your child needs you more, you don't go to your job.
Clearly.
So I was struggling with that. And he was supportive, but
he was questioning why you weren't working and why right. your son can't sort of shoulder more of this on his own.
Because he was, you know, a young adult.
I think that's egregious. How do you see that as supportive?
Yeah, there were pieces of him that were supportive, or he tried to be supportive.
Can you tell me what those were?
Well, you know, he always wanted to hear what the doctors had to say. Mm-hmm. He was interested in, you know, everything that was going on. So I guess he was supportive from...
Interested how? He's asking questions. Yeah, he's showing up at the hospital. Mm-hmm. How is he demonstrating this?
He was very supportive when he got diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And he was very helpful with that.
How? Is he making phone calls to doctors?
Yes,
because
he's a doctor.
He's a doctor. Okay.
So he knew a lot of people and he organized and made things very, very easy for us in the very beginning.
You had access.
We had access the average person did not.
Okay.
So he was really terrific in that way. Mm-hmm. But again, he's not an oncologist, so when doctors would have reports of things that were going on with my son, mm-hmm. he sort of was like, I don't agree with that, or I don't agree with, he sort of was always questioning what the doctors were saying.
Could be helpful.
Right. He was definitely, he's a very smart guy.
Okay.
So, you know, at some point I had said to my son, he sort of like confused us so that I finally had to say to my son, I think we have to deal with the doctors alone. We need to not share as much. We have to, like, you know, you're with oncologists, he's not. Mm-hmm. I think we have to use the people who are in front of us who are trained professionals and not...
His recommendations.
Right, not listen to his recommendations. Listen to them, but not...
assume that that's the best path.
Right, because he likes to have a big ego and he think that he's right all the time.
And how did he respond to that when you wanted to make your own choices?
You know, again, some days were better than others, and other days he just respected it, I guess.
What were the not better than other days like? What would he say if you said, you know what, I don't want to go to the person you've recommended, we're going to stick with our own plan, or even the initial conversation that you wanted to do so?
I think that he just was, he challenges everything. So everything was just typical, him challenging everything. He's a challenger. Doesn't matter. You say black, he says white.
So let me go back to the question I asked before. So he's very helpful in the beginning. He gives you access because he's a doctor. But over the course of time, he's challenging you.
He made it very confusing for us to understand what was happening.
So how do you qualify this behavior as supportive?
I probably towards, you know, in the beginning it started supportive. And then mm-hmm. when things were failing with my child.
When you didn't have the money?
When I didn't have the money, I stopped putting, you know, that rent money in an account that I was putting in for him. And I wasn't really telling him that I couldn't put the full amount in. I was just putting in what I could. Mm. And that, of course, backfired when he found out.
And this is still while your child is ill?
Correct.
And so you stopped putting in money for the primary residence.
Right. I had to pay the other one because that had my name attached to it.
Right, because you were co-owner.
Co-owner. And I was just putting in what I felt like I could afford, but not really not telling him or, you know, I wasn't truthful with
right.
him.
You reduced the agreed-upon amount that you put on the
right.
primary
I made
residence.
Up a number in my mind and I just—
How long did it take him to figure that out, I'm assuming?
I want to say about 8 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not
yeah.
running to the bank every month to see?
No. He had asked how much was in that account when I told him. He was like, oh, my God, what happened to all that money? It should have been this amount of money. I said, I know. But it was like, you know, I'm not working as much. I'm in, you know, chemo every week. And
why did you feel like you couldn't tell him, my son is in chemo, I'm not able to work as much, I'm giving you X, and now I have to do X minus?
I wish I knew the answer to that because—
Let's try and figure it out now.
I was afraid of him. I was afraid that he would really be angry at me and that maybe I had this insecurity that he was using me for my money and that mm-hmm. my money made his life easier. Mm-hmm. I guess I was facing all those maybe hard truths that I facilitated a life for him because I gave him X amount of dollars in the beginning and mm-hmm. then we buy this vacation house and he has extra money because of what I'm giving on one end. And mm-hmm. I was always just insecure with the whole money thing with him. I never really knew how much money he made or did. He mm-hmm. was a big spender. I was mm-hmm. always questioning a lot of his financial, anything to do with finances. I came from a background where we were conservative. I grew up upper middle class. Mm-hmm. There was no manic spending in my house, but we had everything. Mm-hmm. I always felt like with this relationship, there was this manic spending that I didn't really understand.
Manic means he had flurries of...
Yeah, flurries of money when he needed to have flurries of money. Mm-hmm. He was very generous. Again, it comes across, you don't really know, is this generous? Is this manic? Mm-hmm. Am I facilitating this man's life? So, you know, when I'm hearing what my mom is saying and what other people are saying, like, you know, this is ridiculous. He's taking too much money from you. You're working so hard and you can't afford your lifestyle. Like, all of a sudden, you know, you want to buy clothes, you want to do things, and you don't even have the money for that because I was paying for all my own things on my own anyhow. Mm-hmm. So it was just all too much. It was all like just crashing in on me. Mm-hmm.
You said also that you were afraid of him. What were you afraid of? Because it doesn't sound like he's violent.
No, he is not violent at all.
It doesn't sound like he's going to come in screaming and yelling.
The calmest human being you've ever met. However...
Well, some of those calm types can be so lethal.
So there became a subconscious thought that I had in my brain all the time that when I tried to talk about hard subjects or subjects that a couple in love who are sharing a relationship should be able to talk about, felt like anything that I had feelings about did not matter. My feelings were not reality. Mm-hmm. What I was saying was negated. Mm-hmm. And it became like this.
But you said you were afraid.
I was afraid because every time I'd get into a conversation with him, I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
But what are you afraid of?
I don't know. His words. His words. He manipulated everything. So he manipulated what I was thinking and saying so that all of a sudden I questioned myself. Like, maybe I'm crazy. So that's what I was. So I decided to just keep quiet and not say a word. Because if I was quiet, I didn't have to be in a confrontation with him and I didn't have to hear his words because he manipulated everything.
So it sounds like you were afraid of a confrontation.
Correct. Because it wasn't going anywhere. We could never come up with, you know, a plan because I.
And maybe you were afraid to acknowledge what you knew.
Maybe.
Subconsciously.
I mean, and the truth is, you know, many years later, the whole girlfriend or the whoever that she, that wasn't even in my forefront anymore. Like, I sort of put that to rest because I had no access to what was going on in his, you know, secret phone or secret whatever. So that was sort of on the back burner. I just was hoping that.
You just ignored it.
I just ignored it.
But also, I think that clearly what was going on with your son took so much precedence.
Yeah, it was almost 3 years worth of treatments. And
So please continue the story. I know that your son is...
My son's okay. So that's wonderful.
Fabulous and healthy.
Fabulous. Amazing.
But in terms of the continuity of the story, your son gets better. Is your partner supportive? What's his state of mind now as your son is coming through this dark tunnel?
Yeah, you know, my son came back to our house and had to recuperate with us after many of his treatments. So, you know, he was always so nice to letting him be there. That was never a problem. Even that I was his mother, taking care of him, feeding him, taking care of him. It was nobody else's responsibility. But he was very generous with you know, taking care of my son. I think he really cared about my son. That was never a question in my mind. My son, I think, really cared about him. I think they had a really nice relationship. Even that my son knew of the manipulation, the difficulty to communicate with him. Because anybody who knows this person, his own children included, his mom, everybody who's really ever had a real personal relationship with him knows how difficult he is.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just particular to you.
It was not particular to me. I always felt like I was, you know, I watched him, how he treated his children. I watched things that he did with his parents. Mm-hmm. I watched things that he did with his, you know, his siblings, things like that.
Right. It was consistent.
It was consistent. We all could not talk to him. I would speak to his mom on the phone and she'd be like, I don't know what to tell you. He's crazy. You know, we can't talk to him. Mm-hmm. So I just took the silent road. And I guess silence is really there's a reason why they say silence is deadly. I just buried it. I buried it.
It's deadly.
I buried it. Just kept burying in my life thinking that.
What's the it that you were burying?
I think I was burying the reality that I didn't feel like a valued partner. Mm-hmm. I felt like
Did he love you?
You know, he didn't say he loved me the way I would have loved him to tell me he loved me. That was something that we used to talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. He'd write me some sweet cards.
What do you mean he didn't tell you how?
Like I would like to be told I love you on a maybe daily basis, you know, weekly basis at least.
Would you tell him I love you?
I did in the beginning until I didn't ever hear it really back. And when I used to say to him, you never tell me you love me, he denied that. I tell you that all the time. So, you know.
So I brought
that up many times when I tried to talk to him or if we were in a discussion. You make me feel terrible about myself. You never tell me you love me.
And he'd say, oh, I always
tell you all the time. So again, oh, my God, am I going crazy? Mm-hmm. Is he telling me and I'm not hearing this?
Mm-hmm. You know. How was your sex life?
We had a good sex life. We definitely had like a good love language when we had sex.
Oh, I like that, a love language.
Yeah, we did.
Did he tell you he loved you then?
Not as much as I would have liked. No, not really. Not really. And I remember, you know, always thinking to myself, I'd love to tell him I love him during a moment of intimacy.
Passion.
But I would not say it because it was like, why should I tell him if he doesn't ever tell me? So it's a sad way to live, you know?
What I find a little complex in what you're saying, Wendy, is that there's so much, you know, positive and negative that coexist. So you're
Correct.
Saying you have a great Well, you didn't say great. You said you had a solid
good.
Sex life. Mm-hmm. It was good. But yet I felt like I couldn't have intimate conversation with him in the act. So
you're right. It was sad for me. It always left me sort of like sad that, you know, we just made love and I would love to say I love you, but I consciously made that decision not to tell him.
How hurtful was that? And
well,
how difficult
was
that?
It was just hard for me. It made me, again, it was something I kept burying. I had all these things I was just burying. And, you know, I could say that I think he loved me, but maybe that was the way he showed me his love. I don't know.
What do you think now, looking back?
It's so complex because it's been, you know.
Is it really?
Well, it's complex to me now because I left him.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did you decide to leave him? How long were you together?
Over 9 years. And I had a lot of unhappy moments before my son got sick where I questioned and I tried to leave but didn't have the courage. There were a lot of little things and red flags.
Still about the other women?
Just little red flags that happened with holidays and just the way I devoted myself to him and his family from the very beginning. Holidays were very important. My family lives out of town.
Tell me a story about a holiday that was a red flag.
Well, my son was sick, and he had been off of treatment because we were sort of in between a failed treatment and what we were thinking about our next treatment. And again, we were at top doctors. We were not in the middle of the country. But we had this period of time, about 6 to 8 weeks, where he was not under any chemo or anything. And the doctor said, if you want to travel, travel, right. So my family was having the holiday, which needed to have a flight.
We'd
have to go someplace.
Okay.
So I was excited, I said, and he wanted to go. And I'm like, that's great, we'll go. And again, I would say for the first 7 years, every holiday was revolving around his family, his children, because it was so important. My family didn't live nearby, and I probably, looking back on it, I should have made sure that I saw my family, and I didn't.
Did he prevent you from doing that, or you were just so wrapped up in going to see
him? I was so wrapped up in making him happy and his family, his children happy, and, you know, providing this holiday life that was so important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular holiday, I said, you know, I think we're going to all go away because he can travel.
Mm.
And I talked about it and I was so excited to be able to go. My whole family was getting together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the night I was on the phone with my son and we were making the holiday plans. And I went into him and said, I'm going to go down, you know, and see my family. And, you know, we'll figure it out. Maybe you'll meet me. But if you can't, that's fine. You stay with your children. Right. And I'll just do my holiday with my family.
Right.
And the way I remembered the story was he heard me and I made my reservations and that was it. Mm-hmm. And that was like the biggest upheaval of our lives because he said I never talked to him about making reservations and going away. Mm-hmm. He denied that, you know, he said I never asked him. We never talked about it. And part of me was sort of happy that when I did confront him, he didn't make a big You know, he didn't say right. anything like, oh, my God.
Right,
like,
you're changing the plan. We've been right, doing this for right. 7 years.
I was like, wow, I think I'm getting away with this. This is great. He's going to be nice
oh,
to
gosh,
me.
Oh, gosh, Wendy, it's so it pains me that you say you're getting away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, like my God, he's going to support me and let me be with
oh, my
family.
God. Okay, yes.
How great is that? So I don't know when it came to it was like a bad dream that he was like, you made reservations? Like,
so what happened? Don't tell me you didn't go. Did you not go see your family?
Well, if you want to fast forward it, there was so much abuse from the time I told him I made these reservations
yes.
that he told me I didn't say it
yes.
and I didn't confront
yes.
him. We had gone to therapy about it. He was like, you're lying. You lied to me. You're, you know, all we had to do is discuss it and compromise. It took a life of its own. Like, and I want to say from...
Did you go to see your family?
I changed my reservations mm-hmm. so that I could accommodate him and his family for the, you know, for one night of the holiday and flew out and was with my family for literally 24 hours. None of them really were too happy with me.
How long were you supposed to be with your family?
For 4 days. It was supposed to be a Thursday to Sunday situation.
And you did one day. Did he go with you?
He did.
Oh, okay.
He did. I don't think anybody was too happy to see us there
right.
because I buckled. He told me he was throwing my stuff out on the front lawn if I went. How dare I like lie to him and leave him on a holiday when I could have just discussed it with
him.
So
that's very threatening. I hadn't heard this kind
yeah,
of behavior
this was
from
him. So this is – and this is exactly what – I left him 3 years later.
3 years? Okay.
Yeah, because, again, my son was going through
oh,
what
yes.
he was going through, so
I
sort of buried
yes.
this. You know, okay. we were in the midst of treatment.
Did you think he was really going to put the stuff out on the lawn?
No, but the fact that he, you know, talked like this and the way he talked to me and, you know, he'll always say now, looking back, because we have, you know, talked about it many years later, you know, how sorry he was, whatever. But it was horrible. You know, it was absolutely horrible the way he treated me for probably – he was so angry at me.
Angry at you?
Yeah, angry at me for what he considered that I lied to him, made these reservations behind his back, wanting to be with my family. And even if any of that was true, which it wasn't true, he's an adult and I'm an adult. He should have just said, you know what, it's so important for you to be with your family.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. You want to be – this is great – I'll meet you there. But
well,
he,
certainly not. I'm going to throw your stuff on the lawn.
Correct. After being with him for 7 years or 6 years,
okay.
6.5 years.
So you buckle, you change your plan. Was that a pivotal
It was a
moment?
Defining moment.
It
for
was
me.
A defining moment.
So I knew I had to get out of this situation, but it did take me 3 more years.
So tell me about the experience of those 3 years subsequent to this defining moment.
So things in life just changed.
How?
In my brain, I was like, I don't, you know. I sort of, again, buried. It was just like, I just like lived life. I felt like our relationship changed a lot. The money situation was a problem. The vacation home was a problem. Everything was a problem. He said I complained about money all the time. You know, he would always say, you make plenty of money. And I'd be like.
Now, let's go back to the woman. Do you think that there was any other cheating? Was she the only one?
Don't know. I mean, I did always have suspicion that there could have been one other one, but I don't know. And again,
why were you suspicious that there was one other
just
one?
Just a dynamic that he had with a mutual friend that we had.
What was the dynamic? You had a mutual friend, so she was your friend,
too. She was sort of my friend, too, yeah.
Uh-huh. So and how'd you meet her? You met her once you guys
were
a couple?
Through a family friend,
okay.
yeah. So there was just like this dynamic, you know, a flirtatious sort of dynamic that, again, I'm a very intuitive person. And I always sort of had this intuition.
About
her and maybe him having, I don't know. I don't know.
Is she like a neighbor or are you playing tennis together?
No, no.
How would they encounter each other?
Family friend.
Okay.
Family friend.
Did they have occasion to see each other?
Yeah. Yeah, we saw each other. Yeah. She came to our vacation home.
And what was your intuition? Did you see them
No, never saw anything. She was very flirtatious with him. And I
How does she demonstrate her flirtation?
Eye contact. You know, again, he sort of was like, you know, stone face. So he never alluded to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we did things together, the three of us. She was married. Now, you know, she's going through her own little divorce. But it's just woman's intuition. But I couldn't prove anything. Could not prove anything.
When did you relinquish this idea that it could be happening? Or did you?
I never relinquished it to him. Never.
So in your mind, there's possibly two.
It was just in my mind. Yeah. So that's it. That's
it
all I would know.
Office person and friend.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And there could have been more, but
How
I don't
do
know.
How do you feel with all that we discussed, you know, from your son, which is just so incredibly, incredibly difficult, the money, the family, and two, not one, but two potential
relationships. Yeah, I don't know. How do I feel? You know, unfortunately, I shared too much with my family, so they knew what was going on. So they.
Why
were,
is that unfortunate? Sounds like they're giving pretty good
advice. I know. I think they did, but I look at other people's lives now, being a little older, and thinking everybody's got crap. Everybody's got this. So maybe I had more than I think I had. Maybe I was making a big deal. I'm not saying I did. These were just my thoughts at the time. So I just kind of kept myself quiet. I just complained a lot.
But although you're quiet, how are you feeling knowing there are these two potential women?
There was the potential women. There was boundary issues. None of my feelings were validated.
Okay.
Nothing.
I asked you this about the first woman. What about the second? Because you're all three of you are friends. You never said to her, hey, you know what?
No.
It's a little strange.
No, never.
Why?
Because
you didn't want to know.
Yeah. I didn't. It was just a thought. Don't know.
But you're saying you're intuitive, so
I think I'm intuitive. You know, there was just something.
Could
that
you ask her now?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't talk to her anymore.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I think maybe I don't know. They're still friends. So I don't know. I will.
How is it that you stopped talking?
We just stopped.
Did you have a confrontation?
I think that when we broke up, she had to choose.
She went with him.
She had to choose. You know how that it works.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She chose him.
Huh.
And they're, like I said, family, friends.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Family, friends.
You know, you're saying, I don't know. And, you know, I've offered this idea that you could just simply ask.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you could do that today?
It's something, again.
Do you want to know or is it water under the bridge?
Here's the thing. I have brought up, so I left him.
Mm-hmm.
And during my year, and it's more than a year, I've been in my own therapy and learned that a lot of the things that I went through in my lack of communication and what I went through, you know, I can blame myself for not being able to communicate. But I also, on the other hand, tried to communicate, but I didn't have somebody who was listening, because people who are narcissistic, who have these gaslighting personalities or who have these sort of qualities.
Mm-hmm.
If you do your studies and you learn about this, you can't communicate with these kind of people. So what I was finding was not unusual. You cannot communicate. We're in contact now. We've, you know, spoken. We've been on texts. I've seen him a little bit.
How do you speak to him having all these lingering questions? Because the person that you've described here today,
mm-hmm.
I'm walking away thinking this was a very negative, toxic influence on Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that you agree with me more or less. How do you sit down and break bread with this guy?
So when I left him and told him I was leaving,
yeah,
all of a sudden, my ability to communicate with him, because I had already, you know, mm-hmm. signed a lease and I was moving out. So I had this sense of freedom
mm-hmm.
that I made a very big decision that was going to save my life.
So you shocked?
I shocked him. I told him what was going on and I couldn't do it anymore. I just had to do it. My family couldn't listen to me anymore. It's just they couldn't listen to me anymore. Complain. My son, who, you know, I battled with him, looked at me, and he's like, Mom, I don't even recognize you anymore. Mm. You're so successful professionally, but you're like a shell of a person. You have no confidence. You're so unhappy. You need to, like, save yourself. You got to figure this out. And maybe you have to leave and figure this out. And sort of he helped me realize that I can't stay in this situation and that maybe leaving would either, you know, organize my I just had to get out of my situation. I didn't know what I was feeling. I was so confused. When I did leave him, it was the first time I could actually be honest because I knew that I had a place to go. He couldn't hurt me anymore. So I really, really was able to share what I went through in those years with him. I was all of a sudden able to communicate. It was crazy. But I had this new sense of freedom to communicate or to try.
When you had that, what did you say?
So I did say a lot of the things that were on my mind over the years, but the money problem, the girlfriend problems, I said all that.
And he said.
It all came back to me feeling like whatever I did, it was my fault. I handled things so poorly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think some will say, Wendy, you're a therapist. How does this happen to you?
Don't have the answer to that. How does it happen? Because when you're in love, my therapist says you deal with your heart immersion is different than your what's in your head. Mm-hmm. You're a smart girl. You knew something was wrong, but you love him. I still love him to this day. Still love him.
Is it really love or is it just unfinished business that you need to resolve?
I miss the good parts of us, the parts that traveled, the couple, the piece of, like, you don't think about.
The lifestyle. It doesn't sound like you're loving him. It sounds like you're loving the lifestyle.
I don't know. It's the whole year in therapy, I'd bring up his name and my therapist would say, whenever you bring up his name, you're crying. Like, she always felt like she didn't know if I was crying because I was so sad of that I lost this. Was I sad at myself for not honoring my feelings all along because I negated my feelings? And
as a therapist, how were you able to make the distinction between what I'm imagining you may advise your clients versus what's right for you?
It's very easy to advise somebody else. Mm-hmm. Very easy to do that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, look in the mirror and know. Yeah, I mean, my therapist would always say, like, you have to look in the mirror and you have to say that you deserve better.
And when you look in the mirror, what do you see?
I'm still seeing, like, I think, in a trauma response of the relationship that I had because of his personality and how I buried so many things and didn't honor, you know, my feelings and my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I can blame myself because it took so many years that I should have left way before. But things happened in life, like my son getting sick. And maybe if I would have gotten out 4 years ago, I would have been in better shape when I left. But I've really rebuilt my life and myself. I'm successful
admirable.
Still.
Yes.
I still support myself.
Wow.
I'm dating.
Wow.
But I still miss him, and I miss the charming piece of him, the piece of us that traveled and did wonderful things together. I miss, I guess, like what you said, just the easy part of being part of a couple.
Yeah. So, what are your feelings about cheating now? Are you reticent with the gentleman that you're dating now?
I'm not dating anybody like on a regular basis.
Okay.
But
how did this experience change your thoughts about cheating and affairs?
Well, one thing I learned is that if I have a red flag, it's going to come right out of my mouth right away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to honor my...
Well, not really, because you could still ask him.
Right, I can. And I did ask him, but he denied it. I did ask him. Again, we sold the house that we had together. Mm. So we had a lot of times to be together, packing up the house and having discussions. Like I was saying, the year that we separated, like I've been separated from him, I've had much better discussions than I had with him in the 9 years I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not afraid anymore. I say what's on my mind. I might not, you know, he might try to out-talk me, which he does, but I can at least say what's on my mind and what, and you know, I have said
and be heard.
And be heard because now I know what I need. If I'm going to have a relationship with somebody, I know what I need.
What would you do, or how would you feel if you found out definitively that he had an affair with one or both of these women?
You know, I think about it that had he have come clean in year two, that he did see her, and I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, and yes, we kissed, or even came up with some minimal story, I might have felt a little bit better than not, than being told that I'm crazy, that nothing was going on, and what's the big deal? Like, I kind of always felt like if he just might have been honest, I might have been like, lots of families go through cheating, and they're honest, and then you just try to, like, you know, put it in the back. But being lied to and being cheated on is real. It's hurtful. Yeah, I couldn't concentrate. Right. It was all I thought about.
How would you feel today if you did take my advice?
I would tell people if you think your husband is cheating or your spouse is cheating, they probably are.
Or wife,
right? Because it happens on both ends.
Right. Correct.
I don't ever want to be in a relationship that someone's cheating on me. I want to be valued and loved, and I want to be the one and only. I think that's the least I can ask
right.
for.
But you did give a caveat that things happen, mistakes
Correct.
Are made. You just want to be able to communicate.
In an honest way.
In an honest
right.
way.
Right. And yes, I was dishonest about the money. I did a lot of things that were, you know, I was afraid to talk to him. And maybe if I...
Do you feel guilty about the money? Do you feel guilty about the fact that you reduced the amount of money
really.
You were supposed
Not
to be
really.
Putting away?
Not
Oh, good. I'm glad. I was a little nervous there.
Not really. You know, was I dishonest? But I knew what I was doing because I knew he really needed that money for whatever he needed it for.
Well, apparently not, because he made it through.
Right,
the end of that story
right.
wasn't, and then he
exactly.
went
right.
without shoes.
Right.
For
no,
a week.
Not
right.
did not happen.
Yeah.
Everybody was well taken care of in his family.
Right. Right.
Correct.
Right.
So, you know, he had a way of making me feel like I didn't, you know, I took him for granted, and I'm thinking, I took you for granted.
Yeah.
But again, I'm way stronger now, and I've learned a lot of lessons. So I guess it's never too late to learn.
In our last moments here, what would you say to a woman who may be in your situation, not married to her partner, living with her partner, and suspecting that he's cheating on her, in addition to having other issues in the couple? What would you say to that person?
I would tell her to really try to get to the bottom of it. And do whatever she has to. And if she's really not trusting of her spouse, she should leave, because then he or she does not deserve to be with that person. If you can't be in an honest relationship, you shouldn't be one. And if you make the, you know,
if you make a mistake,
you know, that's up to the spouse to decide if they want to live with that mistake.
Will this ever happen to you again?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope I'm going to listen to my red flags that I sort of intuitively knew but could never prove. So I hope it never happens to me again. I hope I can find somebody who will love me and only want me.
I wonder if just having the intuition is enough. Do we really need the proof, black and white per se, or just having a strong feeling? I wonder if that's enough.
I'm probably sure a strong feeling is probably enough, right?
I think
I'm
so.
I'm sure.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're very welcome.
Very courageous of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Cheating When Love Lies. Please continue to subscribe and share with your friends. And I always love to hear from you at jillianhamilton.online. See you next time.